When David Banks was growing up, his father was in the Air Force. Mike Banks flew U-2 spy planes over North Vietnam in the late 1960s and early 70s. He flew for 10 hours at a time, often over enemy territory, returning long after dark to his base in Thailand. Late at night, after a mission, he would sit down with a tape recorder. He began recording messages to his wife and kids.
I hope you can hear me. I'm just talking lower and lower. I know I am. It's just the way I get it. 4 o'clock in the morning. It's all now almost 4:15 in the morning. I wish it was all over.
I wish it was all over, he said. Mike Banks sent cassettes home to his wife in Tucson, Arizona. Mary Banks recorded messages to send back, sometimes with help from her youngest son, Dave.
What is it, sweetie?
Hello?
I'm talking to Daddy. I'm making tape. You want to say hi? Tell Daddy what happened to you today.
I don't know.
What happened to you today?
I don't know.
What'd you do today?
I don't know.
What's that on your arm?
A shot. They had to stick a pin in my arm. Ouch.
The kid who got a shot in his arm is now an employee of National Public Radio. David Banks brought us these tapes on this Father's Day, and he joins us now. David, welcome.
I was afraid you were going to play that clip.
Couldn't miss the chance. How old were you when these tapes were made?
I was about 6, 7 years old. I was living in Tucson, Arizona, Davis-Monthan Air Force Base.
You were 6 or 7 years old when these tapes were made.
Mm-hmm.
Your father was gone for a long time.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
This must have been about the only way you really knew him.
That was the first inkling that I had of my father. A picture that my mom would show me, and then we'd put the tape player on the dining room table, press play, and then I'd hear my father's voice saying, "Hi, kids, it would be Christmas, it would be Thanksgiving." And that was very typical for a lot of holidays, and I didn't even realize until now how lonely things could have gotten.
How often did these tapes arrive?
My mom and dad tried to get in touch with each other. Sometimes it would be a quick turnaround. That's why we have very few tapes. My mom and dad, they don't really pay military people very well, including pilots. And so they always taped over the tapes that they got. Nowadays, my mom and dad smack their heads and, geez, we really should have saved those earlier tapes because they kept doing it for years and years and years. And they would listen to it once or twice, a tape coming in, and immediately turn on the tape player and tape over it and send it back immediately. And, you know, the transit time would be sometimes 2 weeks. And it would always be after the fact. So they'd have to plan ahead when it came to Thanksgiving, Christmas, stuff like that.
Some of the tapes that have survived are quite touching. I'd like to play a tape from Mike Banks. He sends home, or attempts to send home anyway, a description of what it looks like to fly a U-2 plane at 68,000 feet in the evening.
I'm going to take my camera with me tomorrow on the flight, because I've got to try to get a picture of that sunset. Somehow I've got to capture that and show it to you, because it is probably the most beautiful thing in the world. I cannot believe how pretty that sunset is. It's really phenomenal. It is really pretty.
Just before we started this interview, you handed me some photographs.
Yeah, I did. Those were the pictures that he was talking about, right on the edge of the atmosphere.
How do you think it affected you that he was away so much at a time that was so important in your life?
You know, it's really strange. I don't think I even realized that he was my father, really looked at him and said, "Dad," until one moment we're in his beat-up pickup truck.
You're at what age now?
I think it was around 9 or 10,
okay.
Honestly. And I noticed this guy just kept sticking around. It's like, huh, you know, and I looked up at him. He was just staring straight ahead, driving, you know, just doing dad's work. And I looked up and I go, "Dad, that's my father." I remember the moment. I still remember the moment. I still remember the bondo, the truck that held that truck together. I still remember the scent of the pine and the magnolia outside. Every single moment is crystal clear, and that's the moment that I said, "Dad."
You went 30-some years without hearing these tapes.
Yes, 30-some years.
And he went 30-some years without listening to them as well?
That's true. My mother kept them locked in a box.
And now we have these little glimpses of domestic life in the Banks household.
Things that I never knew about my parents, and things that really humanized them for me, made me realize that they were just like me. I mean, the voices that you hear are from a man who's 31, 32, wife is 31, and that's younger than I am now. And it blew me away. I was sitting there listening to the tapes and taking notes of what they were saying, and you know, sometimes I had to stop. It was a little bit too much, especially hearing one particular tape. Maybe I'll cue it up. My mother set the tape recorder on the dining room table and press record. And then my father, 7,000 miles away, listened to his three children opening their Christmas presents in 1972.
Hey, the tape's running. You should say Merry Christmas to Daddy.
Over to where your pile is. You sit right over there, and Mom will bring
you
presents over.
I got sweet. Mom, Santa Claus, what do I know?
Can you imagine a man so far away from his family, and he pops that into his tape recorder 2 weeks later? I mean, you know, it made me start to cry when I thought about that, about what he may have been thinking, what he may have been missing.
Can we play one more piece of domestic life that
Please.
He survived from around 1970 during the Vietnam War? This is another tape that David Banks' mother, Mary Banks, sent to David Banks' father in Vietnam.
Okay, let's see what's next on the list. Oh, the Austins can't wait till you get home to have their party. I got my head buried in my pillow. They can't. Don may go first. Just a minute. What is it?
The tea kettle
almost
burned.
Oh, my Lord. Just a minute, honey. Well, that woke me up. Anyway.
Did your parents argue long distance?
You want to know the truth?
Of course.
I have never once seen my parents so much as raise their voice to each other in the 37 years I've known them. Not once. At least not in front of the kids. They never let it show. I can't believe that my mother never let it show how much strain she was under. You heard her voice. I mean, she's got three little kids, and she's not sure if her husband's ever going to come home.
I am tired, and I am very blue, as is evidenced by our telephone bill. But I am not so blue that I'm not going to make it. You know, I'm not going to have a nervous breakdown or anything like that. I'm just going to sit around and be blue when you get home, and I'll be okay.
Now that you've listened to these tapes again, and your father has taken them out and listened to them again, of course,
mm-hmm.
What have the two of you shared about them?
I think the one thing that we shared the most is he really trusted me with his life, you know? Some very, very candid stuff in those tapes. My parents were sexual and lusty and lonely and afraid, and he didn't mind me knowing that.
David Banks works in NPR's online department now. He brought by some tapes that his father and his mother made more than 30 years ago. And Dave, thanks very much.
Thanks, Dave.